Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you here until 2 o'clock this afternoon right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon and appreciate the good message Brother Lutz had on the program before us and for the cause of Christ with Pastor Lutz. And then, of course, stay tuned at 2 o'clock. Pastor Andrew Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid will be on with another good message. But in between times, I'm sandwiched in between them, and I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can find links to some of our past programs, as well as other materials there. There's a new article there that I just put up here over the past few days, and it's got a long title. It's hard to remember. It's a long title. It's called Why, and that stems from a program that I did actually sitting in for Pastor Lutz a few weeks ago, and looking at Daniel chapter 2 and why God may have allowed Biden to become president as opposed to keeping President Trump in office. I'm not going to go into that today. If you want to read about that, you can go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you'll find a link to the story there, also a link to our church newsletter, which has that in there. I've been glad I've been able to get back into doing our church newsletter. I had done them in the past, got away from it, and things had gotten busy, and it became, instead of a monthly newsletter, it became every other month, and then every 3 months, and then sporadic, and then none at all. And so last fall, I got back into doing it. And so one of the things that I like about doing it is I try to write an article, a feature article for each month. And so that gets me back into writing some more things. And so you can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you can read the newsletter, or you can read the article itself, Why. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And also, you can find out, you can follow links to our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And let me invite you, if you don't have anything to do tonight, let me invite you out to our Friday night Bible study. And the information on the church will come at the end of the program, but we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in Richfield, Ohio. That's midway between Akron and Cleveland on State Route 21, Brecksville Road, right where Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 come together. And we certainly invite you to come out. We'll be there at 7 o'clock tonight. It's an informal Bible study, and people bring the questions. We talk about questions just like on our Friday, our Sunday night program, questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And you can come for that. And refreshments, we have refreshments as well. And then, of course, every Sunday we're there. Our Sunday morning service is at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And I'm currently preaching through 2 Timothy. And then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. We had a great time at our spaghetti dinner last week, and appreciate all those that helped out and those that came and helped eat the spaghetti. That was always helpful too. But we had a good time. And so if you don't have a church that preaches the Word of God and you're down in our area, let me invite you to come out and visit us. And speaking of the Word of God, today is a holiday that started for our Jewish friends that a lot of times we as Christians kind of overlook. And this holiday is the holiday of Purim. And this stems from the book of Esther. And I was reading about this morning prior to the radio program. And initially, I wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time on it, except to mention that today is this evening, I guess, at sunset is, or at 6 o'clock, however they count it, I guess at sunset, is the beginning of this holiday. And this is based, if you're familiar with the story in the book of Esther. And in the book of Esther, we have an interesting story where we find the Jews are in danger of being killed throughout all of the Persian Empire. And the time here, the timing of Purim, Purim, I should say, is during the reign of King, I was just looking for it here and I had it. Unfortunately, I don't see it right here at the moment. I'm going to try and find it here in a minute. But we had King, the Bible calls him here Ahasuerus. And he comes out, he's the equivalent of Xerxes. And I was trying to see whether Xerxes the first or Xerxes the second. And if I find that again here as I go through this, I will tell you which one it is. But this is in the 4th century. And during this time, King Ahasuerus had a wife by the name of Vashti, Queen Vashti. And during this time, I'm just give you a quick overview here. He had a party. And, of course, the drink was flowing, and so they decided to bring his queen out, who was apparently a very beautiful woman, and he wanted to display her beauty before these other people that were there, and she refused. She had more sense than the king, and she refused. Well, of course, the king was upset, and the people were upset, and so there was a move made to keep the women from becoming independent, too independent. They thought that if the women heard about this, that they would not obey the men. And, of course, this, remember, this is the time from in the 4th century B.C., or the time, I guess, or 400s B.C., I should say. He ruled from about 486 to 465 B.C. There we are, King Xerxes the First. And what happened was they said that she should be put away, and lest any of the women in the land get any ideas. So they put her away and basically removed her from being king. Some Jewish tradition says she was actually executed, but the Bible indicates that she was put away. And I'm trying to sum this up real quick to get to where I want to talk about with Purim. And so they decided to have a beauty contest of sorts to replace her. And the long and the short of it is, there were a number of Jewish people who were living there at this time, and a very influential Jewish man by the name of Mordecai found out what was going on, and he encouraged his niece, Esther, to put herself in the contest, and the king actually selects her as his new queen. Now, this is important because here we have this young Jewish woman elevated to be the queen to the king, King Ahasuerus. And as she is there, there's a enemy of the Jewish people by the name of Haman. And he hates the Jewish people. He especially hates Mordecai, because Mordecai, in his mind, snubbed him by not bowing and scraping before him like he thought that he should have. And so Mordecai decided he was not only going to get rid of Haman, and he desired to have Haman executed. He built a gallows at his house to execute Haman, or Mordecai, on. Haman, of course, later gets executed on his own gallows. And He also desires that since he hates Mordecai so much, he wants to know what people Mordecai is from. He finds out he's from the Jewish people, so he wants to get rid of all the Jewish people, not just Haman, Mordecai. So Haman, through a series of events, convinces the king to send out a law and to seal it, to send it out throughout all the realm, that on a particular day that was chosen by lot, and that's where the name of the holiday comes from, because it says in the Bible that in, let's see here, in Esther chapter number 3, it says in verse 7, in the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot before Haman from day to day and from month to month and to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. And Pur, that is the lot. So they cast lots. And so Pur being a lot, Pur literally means lots. That's how the date was chosen when they were going to execute the Jewish people. Well, of course, Mordecai hears about this, and he expresses his concern to Esther that she needs to go into the king and plead for the Jewish people. And so she objects at first, saying that she had not been called in to see the king, and you could not go directly into the king. She says here in Esther chapter 4, verse 11, says, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there was one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And so this is the message she sends back to Mordecai. Mordecai then sends a message to her in verse 14, says, for if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So then Esther returns the message, asking for Mordecai and the other Jews to pray for her. And of course she goes into the king. The king holds out the golden sepulcher, asks what her request is, and she asks to be able to hold a banquet and to have Haman come to this banquet. Well, Haman thinks this is great. I mean, his star's rising. He's excited. And so he decides that, he's really found favor with the king and the queen. And but it bothers him because Mordecai is still there. And so that's where he, gets the advice from his friend Zeresh and some others in chapter 5, toward the end of the chapter, to build a gallows and ask the king for this, that he could hang Mordecai in the gallows. Well, the king can't sleep, and by the time you get to Esther chapter 6, and I'm trying to make this quick going through here, he can't sleep, so he has the books of the Chronicles, meaning the things that the kings had done before him and things that he had done, and he was reading them, have them read before him, thought that would put him to sleep, and he still, as he's hearing all this, he finds out, here's the chronicle of when Mordecai had been instrumental in uncovering a plot to kill the king, and the king had been saved from this plot. And he asked what honor had been done to Mordecai for this, and they said, well, there's no record anything was ever done for him. So he desires the next morning that he's going to do something. Haman comes in. He asks Haman, I always found this humorous. He says in Esther chapter 6 and verse 6, so Haman came in. The king said unto him, what shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the Lord delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered into the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Because he thinks it's going to happen to him. Well, lo and behold, he says, that's a great plan. I want you to do that for Mordecai. And when he finds that out, he's mortified, no pun intended there. And they realize that things may not be as good for Haman's future as he once thought. Long and short of it is the feast takes place, the banquet takes place with Esther, and she desires that they come for a second banquet with Haman. And at the second banquet, she identifies that her people are to be killed, and the king wants to know who's responsible for this, and she says, Haman. And the king goes out. He's angry. Haman throws himself on the bed that Esther's reclining on. The king comes back in, finds him there, thinks that he's throwing himself on Queen Esther, and he hauls him off, puts a bag over his head, and he's hauled off to be executed, and he's hung on his own gallows. And then, of course, because the law of the Medes and Persians could not be revoked, remember the dream that Daniel interpreted for King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the Babylonian king who was the head of gold in the image that he dreamed about in Daniel chapter 2 and 3. He talks about that. And the Medo-Persian was the silver kingdom. And what happened is the Nebuchadnezzar could do whatever he wanted. He was the law unto himself. But the Persian kings were hemmed in by what the written laws were. And so they came up with a day to allow the Jews to defend themselves against those that would kill them. And that became what is celebrated today with the holiday of Purim. Now, said all that, because this is really a fascinating book when we look at this, and I gave a really quick, brief overview. We neglected a lot for that overview, but I wanted to give that overview because, unfortunately, over the centuries, there's a number of Christian leaders and theologians that have rejected this book. They've even suggested that the book of Esther does not belong in the Bible. Well, I believe it does. It's in the Bible. Paul said to Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for correction. Let me turn there before I mess that up completely. It's profitable in all ways. He says here in 2 Timothy. Chapter number 3. Let me just read it so I get the order correctly here. All Scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These are important things, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the book of Esther is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. But many Christian leaders in the past have rejected this book. Martin Luther, whom a lot of people, he founded the Lutheran Church. He protested against the errors of the Catholic Church, and he was helped by some of the Baptists of his day, but he didn't want to go as far as the Baptist in rejecting infant baptism and some other things, and so he ended up founding his own church and actually persecuted the Jews, persecuted the Baptists as well, and he disapproved of this book. He did not think that it should be in the Bible. He also thought it Judaized too much. It made too much of the Jews, and it made them too much, in too good of a light with Mordecai and Esther. And there's others who defamed the book of Esther through the centuries as a memorial to the nationalistic spirit of Judaism. And some even called it, a guy by the name of Anderson in 1950 wrote a book on Esther, called it a bloodthirsty attempt to justify ethnic pride in being a Jew. And then Patton, in his book, The Book of Esther, in 1908, said there's not one noble character in the entire book. And this is ridiculous. Why would a Christian be afraid of the book of Esther? There are some things in Esther that are tremendously encouraging. I, for one, find that when Mordecai sent word to Esther in chapter 4, and he said there in verse 14, where he made the statement at the close of the verse, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" That's an incredibly inspiring statement. And the idea that faced with the possibility of Esther going into to the king, uncalled for, unannounced, and the possibility of dying, being executed unless he held out the golden scepter. And so then Esther asking for Mordecai and the others to gather together in Shushan, where the palace was, and to fast for 3 days, night and day. And Esther said, well, let me just read it to you in verse 16 here. "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Now, this was, I think, an inspiring thing, because when Mordecai had said to her, who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this, this shows Esther submitting and encouraging people to pray and fast so that they would be able to get an audience, or she would be able to get an audience with the king, and that God would deliver the Jewish people. Here's another thing, too. We find in the Old Testament as well several times where promises are given. Them that bless Israel, God would bless, and them that curse Israel, God would curse. And as what is done unto Israel, we see the first one, and of course, in Genesis chapter 12, and time right now escapes me. I can't go through any of them at the moment. But basically, we find that God will do oftentimes to those that come after the Jewish people, what they had thought to do to them gets done to them. And Haman's a perfect example of this. Haman is a perfect example of the anti-Semite. And, you know, we find that he is literally hung on the very gallows that he sought to hang Mordecai on. And then the enemies of the Jewish people in the book of Esther that were gathering and getting ready to kill the Jewish people throughout the kingdom, they've now identified themselves, and they're able to be, as the Jewish people rise up and defend themselves, they're killed. And so it's really a very interesting book. It's not a bloodthirsty, nationalistic thing of the Jewish people that ought to be avoided by Christians. This is a book that the Christians ought to read, and you'll find a lot in it that's very interesting, very inspiring, as I said. And it's based on this extraordinary miracle of God's protection of the Jewish people from genocide by Haman and the others. And of course, as we said, this happened in the time frame of the 400s. Ahasuerus, or King Xerxes I, ruling from 486 to 465 BC. And today it's become a Jewish holiday filled with a lot of celebration and things. And of course, it was a celebration of the deliverance. You know, there's times in the Bible where God did deliver the Jewish people from certain death. Remember when they went into Egypt, and then later Moses led them out, and as they were against the banks of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was coming in, and they were hemmed in by the mountains and things. There was nowhere to go, and they would have destroyed them, but God intervened, and he miraculously delivered them. And there's other times throughout Jewish history where God intervened, and he miraculously delivered them. And as Paul said, these are written for our instruction. The Bible talks about the things in the Old Testament that we can learn from them. And we need to learn that in times of need, sometimes we need to get alone with God in prayer. And we need to trust God for deliverance, just like the Jews did here in the book of Esther. And we need to recognize that sometimes God does raise people up for such a time as this. And he puts people into positions where they can make a difference. And when we think about this, the book of Esther ought not to be avoided by Christians. This is a book that ought to be read. This is a book that ought to be studied. It ought to be preached in the pulpits of the churches across America and around the world, not avoided. And I've preached through it in the past. One of these days I ought to preach through it again. But it's an exciting book. It's filled with God's hand moving and protecting and preserving his people. And if we see God doing that there, we can trust that he'll do that for us today. It starts when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you come to him by faith, realizing that he is God in the flesh, who went to the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins, died, was buried, rose again the third day. Put your faith in him, he'll forgive your sins, you'll become his child. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.